We're turning to the Psalms tonight, Psalm 55 in the Word of God, Psalm 55. We'll begin reading in verse 1, Psalm 55, verse 1. Let's hear God's Word. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did it magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in thee. And God add his blessing to that reading from his word for his name's sake. Could we bow our heads in prayer, please? Let's seek the Lord's face together. Our dear Father in heaven, we come in Jesus' name to thy throne. We need Thee, Lord. We need Thine hand to be plucked from Thy bosom, Thy mighty arm made bare, to experience Thy power in this hour. We pray for the gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds, our hearts, bend our wills in the way of Thy Word. And certainly Thy servant needs His power to preach. Do take Him beyond the words on paper. Give him tonight a living message from the living God. Use it, Lord, to encourage thy people, to comfort them, rebuke if that's necessary, instruct them in the way of righteousness. Come thou, O our God and our Father, open up this book to us now, as only thou canst. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you this evening for a few moments, and it will be a few moments, about something that's very close to each one of us. It's something that none of us can escape, no matter how much we may try, no matter how much we would like to get away from it, we can't. What I want to speak to you about this evening is very intimately connected with just how you and I live the Christian life. How we face and go through each day. How we end it when we put our heads upon our pillows at night. I want to talk to you a bit tonight about burdens. Things that are heavy. Things that weigh heavily upon your heart. What burdens have you brought with you tonight into this meeting? What burdens? What burdens have you carried around this day? Let's be honest. No place for putting on the mask. What burdens have you been carrying around this past week? This past month? This past year? What is it that could be weighing heavily upon your heart this evening, that every time your mind turns to it, a shadow goes across your soul? Your joy quickly departs. What is the burden? At the end of the day, there are really only two kinds of burdens. There are burdens that we are to carry and burdens that we are not to carry. Only two. Concerning the burdens that we should be carrying, according to the Word of God, would include a burden for lost sinners round about us. Paul spoke of that burden in Romans chapter 9, did he not? His heart was continually heavy for his brethren, his kinsmen, according to the flesh. He lived with that burden. It didn't just come upon him when the preacher preached about the need to be soul winners, the need to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a burden that weighed heavily upon him. That's a burden that every one of God's people are supposed to carry. It's not just meant for the preacher. It's not just meant for the missionaries who are on the mission field. It's meant for every lay person, every believer in the pew, to carry this burden, this weight of lost sinners to be won to Christ. Without that burden, there is no witnessing. Without that burden, there is no opening of the mouth to speak to the lost. Without that burden, there is no interest. No interest whatsoever in seeing souls brought to Jesus Christ. Without that burden, there is no praying for them. Without that burden, we don't become the lights upon the hill. There are the burdens for each other that we are to carry. For each other. Bear ye one another's burdens. That's a command of Scripture as much as remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Bearing one another's burdens. It would necessitate, would it not, the need for understanding what the burdens are? Knowing someone well enough? Understanding them and understanding yourself that you could appreciate they must be carrying a heavy burden. And my Lord commands me, I am to help them in carrying that burden. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're not to try to escape from it, to excuse ourselves from carrying the burdens of other people. As I have commented lately on numerous occasions, this world, and I think particularly because of the way this world is, the church has become very self-absorbed, self-focused. All the attention is put upon me instead of thinking about what are the burdens that others are carrying and somehow can I help them carry their burdens. These are burdens that you and I need to carry. There is a burden we are to carry for the glory of the Lord. There should be within us a desire in all that we do to see that glory uplifted, to see His attributes, His perfections exalted high above everything else, that others would see how great He is, how good He is, how mighty He is. It's why we've been put on the earth, to glorify God, and in the glorifying of Him, enjoying the Lord. As you've heard me say, which is not original with me by any stretch of the imagination, that the more you glorify God, the more you will enjoy the Lord. The less you glorify Him, the less you enjoy Him. And the more you enjoy Him, the more you glorify Him. Joyful Christians are Christians that glorify God. And that should be our burden. A burden with which we live. If that's why we're here, if that's our chief end, if that's our purpose in God creating us and saving us and placing us and giving us breath and life and a heart that beats is to bring glory to His name, then my, that should be a burden, should it not? That we live under. That little truth right there, the burden for the Lord's glory, has many ramifications. It would entail, would it not, a burden for revival in the church. A burden to see the Lord step in among His people and deliver them from the world that's come in like a flood. And the nonsense that is being accepted as good and as right as far as doctrine is concerned, as far as worship is concerned. The church needs deliverance, I tell you. A burden for the glory of God will bring about a desire to see repentance and restoration. Those are burdens we are to carry. But then there are these burdens that we are not to carry. Rather, we are not to allow them to rob us of our peace, our calmness of mind, not to rob us of our joy, not to rob us of our holiness, and not to rob us of our usefulness. It's about those burdens that I want to say a few things this evening. You see, all of us have to carry burdens. This is a world of burden bearing. It is true that some people have to carry heavier burdens than others. I always try to remember that no matter what my burdens may be, someone is carrying a heavier one than I am. Some carry hidden burdens, while others, including their own friends, do not know their bearing, because many a heart that is breaking is hidden behind a smiling face. Often the deepest and most painful burdens carried by God's people are those which are not seen. All this is true for God's people. It's true that non-believers carry burdens. They carry all their burdens, but God's people actually find themselves carrying burdens. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, said the psalmist in Psalm 34:19. And a simple reading of Psalm 55 will soon convince us that the writer of this psalm was a very burdened man. And that's why I want to point you to that text tonight in verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Our burdens and our God is my subject tonight. Our burdens and our God. Two simple questions I want to ask and seek to answer them that will make up what I want to say about these burdens and our God. What kinds of burdens do God's people carry? What kind of burdens do they carry? First, while we would be here more than that few moments I talked about a little bit ago, if I began to enumerate all the burdens with any degree of completeness, but I want to mention a few of the salient burdens that the Lord's people carry. In the first place, there are burdens that have to do with the home, that have to do with the marriage, that have to do with the children, that have to do with whatever goes under that roof, what we call home. The old saying is, home sweet home. But for many a family, home is anything but sweet. In many homes, they're weighed down with the burdens of poverty. They're weighed down with the burdens of sickness. Weighed down with the burdens of sorrow. Because of sin. In Christian homes, there are struggles in the marriage. That place which is supposed to be something of heaven on earth is more like hell on earth. Husbands and wives are supposed to be serving the Lord together. But there's so much trouble between them that they serve the Lord apart. Children are one of the greatest burdens that parents ever carry. Prodigal children, lost children, they weigh heavily. And the mother and the father worry, grow full of fear, become despondent. What's to be the future of my child? The early years are relatively easy. You know the little tyke that's come into our lives, the first grandson. My daughter asked me yesterday, "Dad, when does the fussiness end?" 2 months old. I smiled at her, and she could tell by the smile the answer was never. But my wife and I were talking on the way home from Greenville yesterday. Those days were easy days. The days when they're young, life really is smooth. You don't think that when you're in the midst of it. I wish those days were back. Children grow older, and they become independent. They have their own ideas. They want to go their own ways. And that can be a great grief to mother and father. It's a burden. There are burdens that have to do with, I'll call them, business responsibilities. Have to do with work. Things that press into the life that distract the child of God. His mind becomes filled up and overwhelmed and consumed by the pressures of the job, the responsibilities laid upon them. And the fear is, I can't carry them out. The fear is failure. And what if I fail? I've got to provide for my family. And what if this happens and things aren't going well and there's problems here and problems there? And that's a burden that, sadly, they often bring home with them. And they bring it home to the family. And the family begins to feel the impact of dad or of the husband bearing this heavy burden. There are burdens in connection with the Lord's work. Paul spoke of that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. 2 Corinthians 11:28. Burdens about the spiritual state of the work. About the future of the Lord's work. About the success or the failure of the Lord's work. About the state of the Lord's people. Their spiritual state. Where are they with God? What's happening to them? Where are they going? Those are real burdens. There are burdens that have to do with relationships. You read in the Psalm tonight about David lamenting that one. If he had been an enemy, he could have borne with how he was being treated. But this was one who was his acquaintance, mine equal, my guide. We took sweet counsel together. We went to the house of the Lord together. I thought he was one of my bosom friends. And he betrayed me. It's a reference to Ahithophel, by the way, who took counsel against David and lined up with Absalom when his son rebelled against him. Burdens that have to do with relationships with other people. There are physical burdens. That thorn in the flesh can be something that's physical, that really is affecting you physically and seems very hard to live with. There are temperamental burdens. You've got this temperament, you know, given to you. It'll be great finding out what your temperament's like when you're perfected. I can't wait to meet you in heaven and see what a perfected temperament that you have is like. He gave us these temperaments, but sin has come in and messed things up for us. But depending on your temperament, you just may be more prone to fear, more prone to worry. You may just feel that you're not on sure ground unless you're worrying about something. You're so familiar with that territory, you'll go looking for something to worry about if you're not worrying. Depression. Depression. Where everything is black.
And for the life of you, you do not believe there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You are convinced that it will be like this forever and ever and ever, that there is no lifting of this black burden from your heart. Depression. Even despair. Temperamental burdens. There are also burdens that are connected with loss and bereavement. In John 11, you'll read about how Martha and Mary felt about the death of Lazarus. Oh Lord, if you had just been here, our brother had not died. We called for you, you didn't come, and he died. That was a burden, I tell you. It doesn't have to be death to take someone away. Circumstances itself can take them away, but it leaves you with bearing a burden. One of the great burdens that we bear is the burden of disappointment. Things didn't happen like we thought they would. Things didn't go like we thought as we prayed for them would happen. Even as we thought, as we understood the Word of God, it didn't happen. And we got disappointed. The heaviest burden of all that God's people carry is the burden of sin. The burden of sin. The flesh is the flesh. There's the unruly tongue. There are the wandering eyes, the vile thoughts. There's that struggle that Paul talks about in Romans 7 that every child of God understands full well. I'm doing the very things I don't want to do. Lord, it seems like there's no victory over it. There are so many burdens that we bear. So many. Have I touched upon something you're bearing tonight? My second question, what are we to do with these burdens? In the psalm, we're told to do several things, but I want to point out what we are not to do with them first. In relation to these burdens, there are things that we're not to do. And first off, we are not to doubt God. We are not to distrust the Lord, no matter what the burdens are. We are not to find ourselves, to allow ourselves to come to a place where we are questioning God, where we are questioning His will, where we're questioning His goodness, we're questioning His greatness. We don't want to find ourselves in a place because of our burdens where we are now doubting God. What is verse 1? Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplications. He had that fear. God was not seeing. God was not listening. God was not watching. Now you know, brothers and sisters, there is no relief at all that will ever be found by your doubting the Lord in relation to your burdens. You're not going to find any relief. It's only going to multiply. It's only going to increase your burden. It's only going to make life more difficult for you through not trusting in the Lord regarding your burden. You see, unbelief gives rise to fear. And fear paralyzes. Fear leaves you feeling like that you can't do anything, you can't pray. There's no relief whatsoever because you've doubted God. You've doubted His promises. You've doubted the truths He's assured you of. You've doubted everything that He says about you and your burdens. This is why we think about our burdens and our God tonight. Don't doubt it. There is also the temptation that we're not to engage in, not to do. And that is to complain about our burdens and to indulge in self-pity. There's something to avoid because you're not going to find relief from your burden in complaining about it and pitying yourself. It's easy to complain. You can gripe and tell everybody and bend their ear with the burdens that you're carrying. There's not a thing they can do to help you. And all the complaining is not for one moment going to ease the burden. And certainly feeling sorry for yourself because you are carrying that burden is not going to make a change in it. We must also guard against the danger of despair, of giving up, of quitting. Because we say, I can't bear this burden any longer. So therefore, I am going to remove myself from under the burden. I'm going to give this burden up because I can't take it anymore. And that's when you quit. That's when you throw in the towel. And whatever sphere it is, whatever the burden is, you say, I'm done for. It's over. We must not yield, furthermore, to the desire to escape. To escape. If we run away, all we will do is run away with our burden. We will carry it with us. Although it's natural, I understand it's natural to want to run away. Isn't that what the psalmist was saying in verses 6 and 7? Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. If I could just escape. We talked this morning in the Bible, or in the morning service, about people who want to escape from their troubles by drugs and alcohol. That's why the guy gets soaked with wine, drunk with wine, where it is excess. It's to drown out the burden that he's carrying because of his sin. To try to feel better. It's an escape. Christians do it too. They'll sit in front of a television for hours. You know what it is? It's escape. Entertainment. To escape. Some will go shopping. Buying something new. Oh, that somehow brings relief. Trying to escape the burden. Trying to get the heaviness lifted off the heart. So many things we connive and come up with to bring ourselves out from under the burden. Now, how then can we find relief when we feel so heavily burdened? When you feel like you can't bear the burden anymore. When you feel like you are ready to quit. What can we and should we do with life burdens? Three things are indicated by our text. Number one, we are to accept the burden from the Lord. The word burden here means literally that which is given. Cast thy that which is given. Sometimes it's translated by the word lot. Your lot. Your lot. Your appointed portion. Think about it. I asked you at the start, what burden have you come into those doors with this evening? What is it that when it comes across your mind, it casts a dark shadow across your soul? What's the situation? Is it home? Is it the marriage? Is it the children? Is it work? Is it church? Is it relationships? Just go on down the list. What is it? Well, I've got a lot that's been cast for me by the Lord. There is a course He has fixed that you and I are to run down, to run through, and every detail of that course has been determined by God. And it's a gift. It's a gift. Did you ever think about your burden as a gift from God? That's taking the first step in finding an answer for your burdens. Yes, it's what Aaron said about his sons. It is what Job said about the death of his children. It's what Samuel said, not Samuel, but it's what Eli said about the death of his sons. Bad, bad things happen. And they said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. It is the Lord. God has trusted you with that burden that you think you'd be rather better off in life if you hadn't gotten it. You know, there are Christians, and I've had the opportunity over the years to talk to them. They're taking care of a mother or father in their home. And it's a great burden. It really constrains them. They don't have the freedom just to go and come as they please because there's a an elderly mother or father that needs constant care. And I've talked to them about how it seems to weigh them down so heavily. Such a heavy burden. Well, that burden has been given to them by the Lord. God appointed it. God trusted them with carrying that burden. There are a lot of Christian families who would have, by all appearances, a squeaky clean family. All the children turn out right. There are others who don't. The godly J.C. Ryle, who wrote probably the best pamphlet you'll ever read on the rearing of children. It's called The Duty of Christian Parents. Had a son who was a reprobate. Never came to Christ. That's a burden that in the wisdom of God He has sent into the life, into the home. But God has trusted you with that burden. He hasn't trusted everybody with it, but He has you. We forget, although we can all quote it off by heart, we forget to bring in to our burdens that factor of Romans 8:28. He's got this purpose where He is making everything work together for good. For our good. That's His promise. It's not because of fate. It's not because of bad luck. It's not because things just happen. It's just one of those things. Therefore, our responsibility, our need is to accept the gift from His hands. How easily we forget Him. And how slack we get sometimes when things just go so smoothly for us when there are no changes. And that's what He said at the end of verse 19, talking about the ungodly, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. We need to thank God for the changes of life that He brings into our lives, however upsetting they might be, the burdens that He lays upon us. God gives them. They're from the Lord. From His hand, and so we accept them. That's first. Second, we are to cast that burden upon the Lord. So the text says, there's the command, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He just talked about Ahithophel. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords? He was talking to me like I was still his best friend and he was mine. His words were so oily, so slick, and just wanted and loved me. But he had another motive behind it all. And that was a burden to David. You know, John MacArthur said one day, I was struck with it. It was an interview I was listening to on the radio. The most difficult thing he had to deal with in his, I don't know, 40 years of preaching. And you know what it was? Betrayed by friends. Of all the things he had to go through, it was betrayal by friends. Friends he trusted in, whom he supported, and who at one time supported him, but they turned against him. That, he said, was the most difficult. Has been. David with Ahithophel, who turned against him. And then he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. The word cast means to throw. To fling, to hurl. And that requires action. It requires effort. You know, if I told you to throw it, then you got to do something if you're going to throw it. You got to do something. Daniel was cast into prison. There's the word. Thrown. Jonah was hurled into the sea. And you and I are to cast our burdens upon the Lord. Lord, You gave it to me. I cannot bear it. I'm throwing it back to You so that You can carry it and me together. You see, for the reason why He gives us these burdens, that in our weakness we might prove His strength. That in our weakness we might prove His sufficiency. That it's not in us, it's not in ourselves, but it's in Him. It all becomes theory. It's all theory until you're actually weighed down with a burden that you can't bear and you cast it back to God. Then you find out. Then you learn that He is sufficient, that His grace is sufficient.
Paul talked about that burden, that thorn in the flesh. Paul was able to say after God had spoken to him,
I will therefore glory in my infirmities. That thorn which I saw as a burden that I could not live with and prayed for God to take it away, to change this situation. And Lord, certainly if You love me, You will change the situation. Because Lord, You see how I'm feeling. You see how it's affecting me. Lord, You've got to do this. Until the Lord said, I'm not taking it away, Paul. You just cast that burden on me. But I'm not taking it away. You cast it on me, and you'll find you'll be able to bear the burden. Because I'll be bearing you. Your burden tonight, as I mentioned, whatever it is, will you cast it on the Lord? Is it your spouse? Is it your child? Is it work? Relationships? Physical? Is it financial? Is it your sin? Throw it back to God. Lord, here. Take this burden. Take this burden. You've told me to cast it upon You. Now, Lord, I'm casting it. And that's when you find the burden becomes light. For my yoke is easy, Jesus said. And my burden is light. But you don't find that to be so until you've actually cast it back to God. You have been walking around for weeks and months and perhaps years now with this burden. Sometimes it's been heavier than others. You've gotten a little relief. But you really haven't cast it back to God. And you came in here tonight all weighed down. All full of worry, all full of fear, all full of anxiety. And I'll tell you one thing, if you don't cast that to the Lord now, you're going to go back out those doors and face the same thing. One final thought. Leave the burden with the Lord. Once we have cast our burdens upon the Lord, you might say, if I can say it like this, He assumes full responsibility. To teach us to cast them upon Him, don't you assume to carry this in your own strength, because it wasn't designed for you to try to carry it in your own strength. That burden was designed that you might learn it's my responsibility to carry the burden. It is not yours. I carry you. I carry the burden. You cast it upon me, and then you leave it there with me. Leave it. Do not pick it up again. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Sustain thee. That's the idea. You won't fall apart, and you won't fall down, but it'll establish you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Never. 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 Never means never. Our burdens and our God. What are they? What's been robbing you of your joy? Something has taken your song. You've lost your song. You've lost your happiness. You weren't like this before. What is it that's made you so irritable? So hard to live with. So cantankerous. So impatient. So depressed. So downcast. So complaining. What is it? What is it that made you so afraid? What is that burden? There's one thing you do with it. And don't you see, when you cast it to the Lord, you're free? Free? God read His Word.
upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's seek the Lord together. Our God and Father in heaven, as we close this season in Thy Word with a little time of prayer, we realize more than ever that it takes something more than just understanding what we need to do. We need grace to do it. Lord, Thy people have been bearing burdens, heavy, heavy burdens. Feel like they can't bear them anymore. Use Thy Word tonight to lead them, every one, to throw it back to Thee. Thou hast promised that Thou wilt sustain us. Thou wilt never suffer Thy people to be moved. For faith, Lord, to believe that, and a faith that will act upon that plain command of Scripture, we pray. Dear Lord, we can think of nothing simpler than to throw something. Save us from making it so complicated. But Lord, take the burdens, we pray. The burdens that You have sent into our lives for our good. We cast them back to Thee. Take our burdens and leave us with a song. We ask all of this in our Savior's holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.